Now today we continue with our study in the book called The Acts of the Apostles. This is our second lesson from this important book. Let me read again the first 12 verses of chapter 1. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, till the day in which he was taken up, after that he through the Holy Spirit had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, restore again the kingdom to Israel? He said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Spirit is come upon you. Ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when they had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. While they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. I'm sure the Lord will bless to us reading of these verses. Now let me summarize again some of the things that we dealt with in a previous study. We showed from the first two verses the writer sets forth the purpose of the book. In verse 3 he speaks of the proof of his resurrection. Verses 4 and 5, the promise of the Father. Verse 6, it's the problem of the disciples. Verse 7, it's the power of the Father, that is the power of authority. And verse 8, it was the program for the witnesses and the power of ability that they would receive. Now, when you come to verses 9, 10, and 11, here we have the parting of the Lord Jesus from his own and the promise of his return. Now that day when they stood on the Mount of Olives, remember this, he was speaking to them for the last time before he would leave them. Now if you were to join this with the closing verses of the Gospel according to Luke, because remember it's the same writer, and in concluding his gospel, here is what he says, speaking concerning the Lord Jesus. He speaks again of that promise. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem till ye be endued with power from on high. Now that corresponds with what we have in the Acts of the Apostles. And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. Now this attitude of lifting up the hands and pronouncing the blessing, he takes upon himself, as it were, that priestly attitude. He's acting towards them as a priest, pronouncing the priestly blessing. He has also spoken to them as a prophet. That is, he has told them what's about to take place. Now, having acted then like a prophet, and having acted like a priest, it came to pass that while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. These are the closing words of the Gospel according to Luke. You will see immediately how they correspond with what he says now in the opening chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. So this was the last moment when the disciples saw the Lord with outward vision. They saw him in the act of blessing with uplifted hands. At that moment, then he was enveloped in the cloud of glory. His feet left the mount, as it were, the Mount of Olives. And that holy cloud, the cloud of glory, enveloped him. And he was carried up into heaven. That is, he went up in glory, and he went up into glory. See, having pronounced this final word of instruction, his feet leave the earth. He is enveloped in that cloud of glory. I have no doubt in my own mind that it wasn't an ordinary cloud. It was the cloud of glory. And he was taken up into glory. So the last vision they had of the Lord was this manifestation of heaven's approval and the testimony of the two heavenly witnesses that someday this same Jesus would come again in the same manner as they saw him go. Now, let us make one or two observations here. You'll notice then that in this chapter, there are two outstanding promises. First of all, we have referred to the first one. When he was instructing them, he told them this, that they were to wait at Jerusalem, and they were to wait there for what he called the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. Now, when we come to deal with the promise of the Father, he indicates what that promise is associated with. And only when we come into chapter 2 will we find all the details of it. But the promise of the Father had to do with the advent of the Holy Spirit. But I've indicated that promise could not be fulfilled until Christ was glorified. And after the Son is glorified in the presence of the Father, then the Holy Spirit can be given. So the promise of the Father would be fulfilled, it would be kept, it would be honored after Christ was glorified. But now you come to verses 9, 10, and 11, and it introduces us to another promise. Verse 11 says, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." Now this is not the first time that such a promise has been made. The Lord Jesus Christ himself, in the upper room on the night of his betrayal, when he was with his own on the last night prior to going to the cross, it was then that he said to them, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." So he gave them the promise that he was going away. But just as sure as he was going away, he had a purpose in going away. He was going to prepare a place for them. And just as sure as he would go away, so he would come again. Now notice, in John 14, he doesn't indicate when he'll come. He doesn't even indicate how he'll come. He simply makes the bold statement that he would come again. And the purpose would be to receive them unto himself. Now here when we come to Acts chapter 1 and verse 11, that promise is confirmed. It's confirmed in the mouth of the two witnesses. Because the two men stood by them, arrayed in white apparel, it's obvious they were heavenly visitors. And they're confirming the promise. And they're telling the disciples this, that this same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. Now, I must observe this, that here we have two terminal points. First of all, there is the keeping of the first promise. When that first promise was kept, that is, the giving of the Holy Spirit, the advent of the Holy Spirit, When the Holy Spirit came down from heaven, down to this earth on the day of Pentecost, we'll find that in chapter 2, it was the commencement of a new era. It was the commencement of the church era. We noticed from verse 8 that they would receive this power and they would be his witnesses. And so the church has a prerogative down here under the power of the Holy Spirit to be witnesses to the risen living Christ. But now, when the day comes for this second promise to be kept, when God honors this promise, and when the Lord Jesus Christ honors his promise to come back for his own, that this same Jesus shall come again, that will be the terminal point that will conclude the era of testimony for the church. So get that very clear. You have no church before the coming of the Holy Spirit. And then there will be no church testimony here on earth after the Lord comes and takes his church home. In spite of what some people have tried to say and the arguments they have brought up, here it is perfectly clear that the Holy Spirit comes down and the church era commences. When the Lord Jesus Christ comes back again, the second promise will be honored. And when he comes to take his waiting people home, that will terminate the church's testimony here on earth. So, we have two great promises here in Acts chapter 1. First of all, the promise of the advent of the Holy Spirit, and the promise of the second advent of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that being so then, our attention must now be drawn to this second great promise. They've gone out to the Mount of Olives, and while they were standing there on the Mount of Olives, while he was speaking to them, and while they were looking, suddenly he was taken up. They saw his feet leave the mountain, and they saw him being enveloped in this cloud. As the cloud went up with him in, they're gazing up into heaven. You can't blame them for that. I'm sure they were expecting at any time that cloud might open again and he'd be back with them. But it wasn't to be like that. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven as he went up, then the two witnesses stood beside them. And listen to the words now of the two heavenly visitors. Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Now I drew attention to this, that when the Lord Jesus Christ made his promise to them that night in the upper room and said, if I go, I will come again, he said exactly who was coming. He said, I will come again. Now you cannot by any stretch of the imagination work in anyone else there. You can't say he was referring to the coming of the Holy Spirit. That was not what he was saying. Because here in Acts chapter 1 were the two promises. That which was called the promise of the Father, that related to the advent of the Holy Spirit. But now you have this second promise, I will come, or this same Jesus will come again. Now, in John 14 he says, I will come. Here in Acts chapter 11 it's this same Jesus. So these two things correspond, that Jesus is coming. How often do we sing it? Jesus is coming, shout the glad sound. And so therefore it's true, while this was spoken over 1900 years ago, remember this, it still stands good, this same Jesus is coming again. But then we learn something else from this verse that we did not learn in John 14. And that is, that this same Jesus which is taken up from you in heaven shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. He didn't tell them that in John 14. All he said is he's coming again. But here in this verse, we learn how he's coming. He's going to come in the same manner as they saw him go. Now, I'll ask you to look at that verse. Look at it very carefully. And it says, while they looked steadfastly towards heaven, as he went up, they saw him go up. How? Because verse 9 tells us, a cloud received him out of their sight. So watch the movements now. His feet left the Mount of Olives. Then he goes up, and he's in the atmosphere, and a cloud envelops him. As I have indicated, I believe that was the glory cloud, the cloud of Shekinah glory. And in that cloud, he's escorted or taken back up into glory, right into the Father's presence. Now, the witnesses says he's coming back in the same way as they saw him go. Now, it's very remarkable and worthy of note that when the great Apostle Paul was writing to the Thessalonians, his first epistle to them has 5 chapters. In every one of these chapters, he makes reference to the return of the Lord. We have referred to this great incident time and time again during these broadcasts. But let me remind you again of what he says here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Now that corresponds with John 14. The Lord said, if I go, I will come again. So Paul, writing to the Thessalonians, says the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. More than that, Acts chapter 1 says, this same Jesus shall so come. So it's the Lord himself, the same Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall come. But Paul says the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Now, he doesn't tell us anything about that shout in John 14, and he doesn't tell us anything about that shout in Acts chapter 1, but we're told about it here. So here's a little additional truth. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And they were told some of the things that will take place. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. He said, I will come again and receive you unto myself. That's John 14. Acts chapter 1, he says, this same Jesus shall so come, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. How did he go? 2 stages. From the mount to the cloud, and in the cloud taken up into glory. Now, 1 Thessalonians 4 tells us this. He's going to descend from heaven. That's where he is now. And he'll come with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. So there's clouds mentioned again. So we're not going to meet them on the earth. We're going to meet them in the air, in the clouds, caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. He said, that where I am, there ye may be also. So then we have the 2 promises in Acts 1. The first promise had to do with the advent of the Holy Spirit. The second promise has to do with the second advent of the Lord Jesus Christ. He mentioned this in John 14. It's confirmed in Acts chapter 1. It's again mentioned under the writings of the Apostle Paul, who wrote by inspiration and by revelation. And he tells us the Lord is coming again. Now, when the Lord comes, he'll come in 2 stages. The last time they saw him was in the cloud, they're looking up. When he comes, according to 1 Thessalonians 4, he's coming again in the clouds, and his own shall be caught up to meet him in the air. Abbott says, someone, they saw him go up from the Mount of Olives. Won't then he come back to the Mount of Olives? Well, certainly he will. But you see, when he comes to the air, he's coming for his own, that is, for his church. But then again, let me remind you that that is not the end, that is only the beginning. Because when I go back to the Old Testament in Zechariah chapter 14, I discover there that he will come to the Mount of Olives. Listen to these words. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh. Thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. I want you to stop there a moment, friend, and consider that. I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. Don't you think that day must be drawing very near? And the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then, at that moment, when you would almost think that everything was lost for the Jews, then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations when he fought in the day of battle. And, at that point now, and his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. There shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, half of it toward the south. Ye shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Azel, yea, he shall flee like as he fled from before the earthquake the days of Uzziah king of Judah. And the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with thee. You see, that makes it perfectly clear that ultimately he's coming back to the Mount of Olives. See, Acts chapter 1 tells us he went up in two stages. He left the Mount of Olives, was enveloped in a cloud, carried up into glory. The witness of the testimony given here is that this same Jesus which is taken up from you into him shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into him, which means he'll come first of all and the cloud will open, and there he will be displayed in his glory, and his own will be caught up to meet him in the air. So shall they be forever with the Lord. But he's still got to deal with the nation of Israel and with the nations. For you've got to learn to distinguish between the Jew, the Gentile, and the church of God. If the church becomes raptured and taken up into glory to be forever with the Lord, remember at that point, he'll begin to take up again with the testimony of the special nation of the Jews. And when they are being persecuted by their enemies, the Gentiles, it's at the very point where they're almost overthrown, that he comes to their rescue. Now, in days that have passed, when Pharaoh sought to overthrow them, you will remember he came in at the vital moment, and he opened the sea, and took them safely through the sea, and overthrew their enemies at the Red Sea. Now, in a future time, when he comes, it's not the sea he'll split, it's the mountain. The Mount of Olives will split, and there'll be a valley into which the remnant can flee and be safe. And he'll overthrow their enemies, according to Zechariah chapter 14. Yes, my friend, the Lord is coming. Just as sure as the promise was kept and the Holy Spirit came, so the second promise will be kept. Christ will return, and he'll come, and he shall reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords.